hardly anyone in the greater Atlanta area is not knowledgeable. Almost everyone is knowledgeable in the church world of the name Mays Jackson. Brother Mays. Some may not know that Brother Mays was born in Western North Carolina, just a few miles from where I live. And his pastor was a great man, a great preacher by the name of N.B. Phillips. Brother N.B. Phillips had basically one message. Wherever he took his text, he ended up preaching on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And in his last days and weeks, he was in, Brother Phillips was in the Saluda nursing home. And Brother Mays and a pastor friend of mine, Brother Carlton Dix, came to visit Brother Phillips. And they came into the room, and Brother Phillips was feeble. His mind was coming and going. And Brother Mays got up beside the bed and said to him, "Brother N.B., said, this is Brother Mays, your preacher boy. You remember me, don't you?" And Brother N.B. said to him, "I don't believe I know you." He introduced him to Pastor Dix, and again, Brother Phillips whispered, I don't believe I've ever met you." Again, Brother Mays said, "Well, I'm your preacher boy, Brother Phillips." He didn't seem to respond. He said to Brother Carlton Dix, Brother Mays said, "I know what'll get him to respond." And he said to Brother Phillips, "Brother Phillips, do you know the Holy Ghost?" And they said the old man almost pulled up out of the bed and said, "Ah, do I know the blessed Holy Ghost?" The Holy Spirit is more real than the flesh on your bones. And I would like to remind us a few minutes tonight of his reality. And I'm going to use Brother N.B. Phillips' words and preach for a few minutes on the blessed Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of faith, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of promise. All these titles give us insight into who He is and what He's come to do. But here in one verse, Paul gives us a theological treatise on the Holy Spirit. Though he is defending his ministry somewhat, just sort of getting into the early stages of his defense, he seems to draw upon the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. And he mentions at least three specific facets of the ministry of the Spirit. So I want to read verse 22 again and draw from this text in three different ways. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. I want you to notice firstly the word given. I would remind us briefly tonight of the gift of the blessed Holy Ghost. Amen. He is not a prize to be attained. He is not an it that influences atmospheres only.
Amen.
And He is not just one that sinners know naturally. He's a gift. Oh yes, he gives gifts. Paul has really explored that truth in the first epistle, talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Chapters 12, 13, and 14, he belabors that point. But the first gift is the Holy Spirit himself. The primary gift is the Holy Spirit himself. And so we would take a moment and meditate upon the gift of the blessed Holy Ghost. I think this word given, first of all, reminds me of the impartation of the Spirit. He comes from God. He is of God. One verse back in the first epistle, Paul, he said several things that cut at the intellectualism of the Corinthians. They were very proud of their intellectual apprehension. They knew. But Paul would ask questions like this. He said, "What? Know ye not?" You folks that know everything in car, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own. The Holy Spirit is an imparted gift. Even the word gift indicates that the Holy Spirit cannot be attained or cannot be merited, or we cannot do enough to warrant His coming to us, but He is given to us. Of course, we know that He was given to the early church, but every time a sinner is saved, the Holy Spirit is imparted to that individual. There was an incorporate work of the Spirit, but there is also an individual dispensing of the Spirit into our lives. I would ask you tonight, have you received the Holy Ghost? Has this gift been received in your life? It happens at conversion. It happens upon regeneration. And so we're confronted firstly with the impartation of the Spirit. He's a gift. May I add secondly, we're reminded not only of His impartation to us, but His identification with us. According to the text, He has not only sealed us, but He has given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Paul is not just saying in my heart, but he's talking about all believers. The Holy Spirit has been given to all believers. We have all been baptized into one body by the Spirit of Christ. And I think that's precious that it's emphasized in these Corinthian epistles, because the Corinthians were the most immature believers in the New Testament. Amen. In that era, there were no others as weak spiritually. Paul even called them carnal. And yet, Paul says, we have been given the Spirit. The Spirit has been given to us in our hearts. Now, I cannot fathom that God would ever identify with us. But God the Father has identified with us. And God the Son has identified with us. God the Father chose us in eons past. And God the Son came and purchased us on Calvary's cross. In time. But now the Comforter, the blessed Holy Ghost, has come to identify with His believing people. I don't mean to be ugly. I don't mean to be smart. There's enough folks on that wagon without me getting on it. But the Holy Ghost was not given to some club or some group in the community. That's why we're interested in bringing our children around the church. That's where the Holy Ghost works. Now, he's not limited. He can work wherever he wants to. But the Lions Club can't say the Comforter has come. Or any of the other groups. But the church, believing hearts, have received the blessed Holy Ghost. He identifies with us. May I add thirdly, the fact that he has been given in our hearts. I would say thirdly, he is not only set forth as in the ministry of impartation to us and identification with us, but in dwelling within us. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter is come. The Holy Ghost from heaven. The Father's promise given. The Holy Ghost has come to live inside his people. He has made our bodies his dwelling place. And I understand, I'm familiar. I mean, I'm in church every night, just about every night of my life. By the way, I'm looking forward to a few days off next week. But I'm in church almost every night of my life, preaching almost every night of my life. And I'm aware of what we mean when we say, well, I hope the Holy Ghost comes tonight. I hope the Holy Ghost will be present. I hope the Holy Spirit will be here. But in all, if we want to get technical about it, he's here already. He lives in us. He has taken up his abode in the tabernacle of our body. I can't grasp why he'd want to live in somebody like me. But he's come to indwell his people. And there's hope for you and me. He can make us what we ought to be because he is all he is. The Comforter, the gift of the blessed Holy Ghost. Now, I like gifts personally. I like things to be given to me. I've had to get rid of some things after they were given to me. Because they just weren't becoming to our situation. Had a dog given to me one time. I had to give it away. We were traveling as a family, and there was no way we could take care of it. And my girls never let me live it down. When they began to stay at home, and I traveled by myself, every night, our youngest daughter would pray, Lord Jesus, please give me a puppy. And she went over my head. And the Lord answered her prayer. One day a stray dog came in. I tried to find its owner. I went to every house around our community. But they said that the people that owned the dog had moved out in the night and left the dog and a few other possessions around. And she was convinced the Lord sent her that puppy. But I'm saying I like gifts, but I like gifts that I need. Are you that way? But I tell you, the Holy Spirit has been given. I know he didn't need us. He didn't need me. But oh, how I needed him. I didn't have the power to live right. I didn't have the power to do right. But now the power has been given me. And that power is on the inside. I don't have to, you know, once the water's been cut on out at your place, you don't have to have it. The city don't have to come out and cut it on anymore. And once you've been hooked up to the life of God and the blessed Holy Ghost, you have that life forever. And so, firstly, Paul revels in the gift of the blessed Holy Ghost. Many in our day say they're praying for the gift. Wouldn't that take away from the meaning of a gift? I'm working for the gift. Oh, it's given. Wonderfully, freely, unconditionally given of God. I would underline, secondly, this text not only says something about the gift of the blessed Holy Ghost, but furthermore, we're reminded of the guardianship of the blessed Holy Ghost. Amen. We're told that God also hath sealed us. Amen. Now in the Ephesian epistle, Paul uses this idea two times. Wow. One of my favorite texts is Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Earlier Paul talked about the Holy Spirit is not only the seal, but he's the sealer. He sealed us. We're sealed with the Spirit, we're told. And so we're confronted, secondly, to the guardianship of the blessed Holy Ghost. Now you'll notice that this sealing process, as is also the giving process, is from God.
Amen.
You can't do enough, you can't pray enough,
Amen.
You can't know enough to get the seal.
Amen.
Now some folks think that we're saved and then later, if we're sanctified enough, then we're sealed. Or we're marked by the Spirit, and people know then that we're really sanctified because we have the seal or the mark of the Spirit on our life. That doesn't seem to be the teaching of the New Testament.
Amen.
The teaching of the New Testament is that God graciously, sovereignly seals us by and with His Spirit.
Amen.
It's not something that we cause. And so I would mention, firstly, the sealing activity is set forth here as a divine activity. He's talking about God in verse 21, and he says, who hath also sealed us in verse 22. God has done the sealing. I might add as well, this is in reference to the Corinthian believers as well as to the Apostle Paul and Timothy and Silas. He's saying God hath sealed us.
Right.
Even these Corinthians were sealed with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah,
and so I would mention it is a sealing activity that is divine in nature. Let me pause and say at this point, it is not some kind of mark on top of our heads. We do not have an invisible S on the top of our heads. And God looks down from heaven and says, oh, there's one of mine. They've got the seal. Look at the S on the head. No, that's not what is indicated here. It's not a tattoo.
Amen.
It's not some kind of emblem that God has, or an impression that God has made on us. I know some of us look like we've had something get a hold of us, but the seal is not visible. The seal cannot be seen. And it's not a rubber gasket.
Amen.
It's not some kind of rubber seal on a mason jar or a jar lid. No, He is the unseen Spirit. The sealing activity is divine. It's silent. It's invisible.
Amen.
You can't say, boy, I remember when God sealed me. There's nothing in the New Testament teaches that. He did it at conversion. Silently, without the sound of a hammer, He placed us into the building.
Amen.
and sealed us with the Holy Spirit. And so the sealing activity is of a divine nature. Secondly, we're made aware that it is something, not only an activity wrought by God, but it is an accomplishment. It is something that is not true in every life. It is only an accomplishment in believing hearts. In fact, let me read this wonderful text in Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul talks about being sealed. He said in verse number 13 of chapter 1, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that ye believed," or after that ye believed, "ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Now some have taken this text to mean a time period after you believed, then God returned and sealed you. But the idea is, after that you believed, or in that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. Only those who believe are sealed with the Spirit. Amen. Now, some give the indication that you can be saved and lose that. Then, if that's true, then after you believe, you've been sealed at believing, then you must lose the seal also. Lose the indwelling Spirit also. And lose all the benefits of salvation also. No, dear friend, the Holy Spirit accomplishes this divine work, and it's never to be repeated. Happens when we believe on Jesus. You see, unto the day of redemption. Then let me add, not only the sealing activity is divine in nature, and the sealing accomplishment points to the fact that everybody's not sealed. Just believers. But then there's the sealing association. Those who are sealed are looked upon as the property or the possession of God.
Amen.
He seals, he claims. Now, I'm not much of one to watch westerns. Some of you are. But I know enough about the old West. O-L-E. I know enough about the Old West I know that it's possible to put your brand on your cattle and somebody violate your brand. You may have an O on your cattle and they'll make a B out of it. Or they'll make a P out of it. Or a D out of it. They'll violate your mark. And then they'll claim your cattle. Wow. That was the way of the West. I want to tell you, dear friend, God associates with His own, and His property cannot be taken away.
Amen.
His seal cannot be broken. Now, God, in the Bible, God did reveal Himself as one who could break seals. Daniel was thrown into the den of lions, and then the king sealed it with his signet ring. And yet God set him free, and the seal of the king didn't mean anything. Jesus was put in Joseph's borrowed tomb, and the Roman government put their seal on it. That meaning nobody can bother this. But on the third morning, the Lord Jesus tore the bars away and came forth in resurrection power. Our God is a God who can break the seals of man. But man cannot break the seals of God. He associates with us as His property. It's been my privilege on several occasions to go to the Holy Land and in conjunction with that, go to ancient Greece. And one of my favorite spots is Corinth, or as they say, Corinth. And Corinth is known for its pottery. It was known in its ancient history for its pottery. Paul used it in talking to them. He said, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." They knew what he's talking about. And it's still known for its pottery. Every time I've gone to ancient Corinth, I have bought a little bitty vessel. And I've made sure that it had the little seal. Of course, it's just sort of a historical piece now with no meaning. But they put that ancient little seal of Corinth, the city of Corinth, on it, indicating this pottery was made in Corinth. I want to tell you, just as that pottery that I've got on my shelf in the office has the mark, the ancient seal of Corinth on it saying this came from Corinth, though you can't see it, though I can't see it, the seal of God on His people indicates that we're the property of heaven. We weren't interested in heaven, but heaven came to us. And now we're headed that way, and we call it home, though we've never been there. We're sealed with the seal of that country. The sealing association. We have the seal of the blessed Holy Ghost on us. So Paul finds comfort, firstly, in the gift of the blessed Holy Ghost. Secondly, in the guardianship of the blessed Holy Ghost. He has sealed us. Lastly, he talks about the earnest of the Spirit. Let me read the verse again. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And again, I'm not trying to correct my peers, but I heard another dear old preacher preach an entire sermon on Mr. Ernest, using this as a name, like a man's name, Ernest. And the whole sermon, he referred to Mr. Ernest. Now, this is not talking about a title. This is talking about a role. And it's not spelled E-R, it's spelled E-A-R. The idea is the guarantee of the blessed Holy Ghost is out. The pledge, the promise of the Spirit is out. I love this truth. Somebody said, "How you know you're going to heaven? How you know? How can you say you're sure you're going to heaven?" I have the pledge living in me. The earnest is already here. Now, we don't even hear about earnest money anywhere unless it's on the deed when we close on a loan for a house or something. But the idea, earnest money is the down payment. It's a pledge that you're going to pay the rest of it off. And here the Holy Spirit is given that role. He's called the earnest, the pledge, the down payment, you might say, the assurance that you're going to get all the inheritance in the end. Sure, I know I'm going to heaven. I have the earnest living inside of me. Now, let me say firstly, this pledge comes with a past foundation. Jesus paid the redemptive price on Calvary. Amen. He's already paid for the entire inheritance. But I have personal proof of that, because the dowry, the earnest money, the pledge, the promise has been given to me. Really, there's nothing in the Christian life that doesn't go back to what Jesus did on the cross. You can't be regenerated, given life, unless Jesus paid for life. You can't be justified unless Christ shed His blood, for we're justified by His blood.
Amen.
Everything goes back to the cross. And even when we're in heaven a million years or more, we'll still be glorying in the cross.
Amen.
John said, I looked and I saw a lamb as it had been slain, standing in the midst of the throne. John said everything that happened in heaven was focused around the work of that little lamb.
Amen.
I preached in heaven, we're going to forget everything. Hallelujah. The toils of the road will be behind us. Well, that's wonderful. I want to tell you, there's one thing that happened on this earth that we'll never forget.
Amen.
That is that the Lamb of God gave Himself as a sacrifice for sin. And while the ages roll, we'll praise the Lamb and worship the Lamb. This guarantee, the blessed Holy Ghost is not only a gift and a guardian, but He's a guarantee. And this guarantee is pledged to us based on the foundation of the cross and Christ's death there. Furthermore, this pledge comes to us with present blessing. We can sing unhesitatingly, I will meet you in the morning by the bright river side. We can sing that without even flinching. Somebody said, you don't know you're going to be in heaven. Oh, yes, I do. I have the present blessing of the Holy Spirit operating in me right now. Got heaven living in me. I've got heaven in my appetites and longings, my affections. I want to go there. I'm interested in it. I heard a dear man in his late 60s say to me some years ago, he said, some days I'd just like to get out of this old world. And I thought, I was a rather young man, I thought, what do I, he'd say something like that. Is he having trouble at home or something? But I've lived long enough to know what he was saying. There's some days this world, it won't satisfy. And the things of this life are empty and vain and void. And after you've had it all, you still aren't satisfied. But hallelujah, there's something in the heart. And I have to say, when I awake in His likeness, I will be satisfied. Oh yes, it's a pledge that affords just present blessing. Lastly, it's a pledge that the transaction will be completed in the future. It's a pledge with the prospects of completion. Your hope is not in vain tonight, believers.
Amen.
Children of God, your longings are not empty. Your prayers are not just words. There's a God in heaven who sent His Son down from heaven to save people and purchase them a place in heaven, and sent the Comforter down from heaven to give us desires to move in that direction. That's right. In fact, one of the old preachers in your state, I heard him preach years ago on seven reasons he knew he wasn't going to hell. And one of them was, he said, I know I'm not going to hell because I'm not headed in that direction. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
No! I feel like traveling on tonight towards the city of God. The blessed Holy Ghost. The blessed Holy Ghost. I love the story of Abraham sending his servant to get a bride for Isaac. Rebekah firstly received gifts from the servant. She also was guarded by the servant who brought her safely home to Isaac. She had the guarantee, because the servant was with her all the time, that there was going to be a wedding. There was going to be a reunion day. She would see Isaac. And by the way, if she jumped off her camel, which is not a small task, when she saw Isaac out in the field, I'm not about to predict what I'm going to do when I see my heavenly Isaac, the Lord Jesus, for the first time. He's the blessed Holy Ghost. I'd like to say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You're standing with me, please. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes